Yeah, the Spirit of God is really moving here. We always know we're in the right place, but we can be assured we're in the right place when everything comes together. And when Noel started to sing that first song, Shine Your Light, it was a very powerful, powerful word. And tonight, as always, I'm really excited because God really blesses us, doesn't he? We heard a very powerful word this morning. But sometimes we don't always know how to take hold of those blessings, and sometimes we can get very confused. And this message was born out of something that happened to me through the week. So I'm not just speaking to you, I speak to myself. And sometimes we think we're in the right place, but we can listen to the wrong voice. And so I want to ask you tonight, I was thinking a lot through the week about, you know, childhood memories, the good ones that I have. And I used to love to play Follow the Leader. Anybody play Follow the Leader? Absolutely. It was a really good game. We used to get out and play that because we were out in the street till very late at night. My mother didn't want us under feet, and so it was very dark and very late at night. And we used to play Follow the Leader. And, of course, we know that we follow the leader wherever he goes. And when we used to play it, it was pretty messy and dirty. We used to love to mush and squash in puddles and stomp through those things and climb over fences, swing from trees. And anything at all that the leader did, we had to follow because we wanted to stay in the game. And, of course, because my life was pretty sad, I always wanted to win. And guess what? I didn't always win because often I'd fall in those puddles or fall over the fence and then you're out. So it's very, very important that we stay in the game. So just as a little example tonight, I want to show you something. So I'm going to call Joshua up, please. And he's going to call his team. Come on down, Josh. You call your team. Okay, Joshua's the leader, of course. Off you go, Josh.
Come on, guys. I think it's over here. Come on. I think it's over here.
He's in the wrong team. You're in the wrong team. Okay, thanks, Joshua. What do you think happened there, Josh? Yep. Exactly. You didn't know where you were going. Thank you very much. Okay, Matthew. Where's Matthew? Oh, there he is, right in front of me. Where's your team? Okay, now you're on the right team. Remember, you're following the right leader. You're not the leader, Caleb. Very good. So what happened with your team, Matthew?
We knew where to go.
That's right, exactly. And your team followed you. So you can share that with your team now. Not maybe through the service after. Whenever Mum and Dad say. Now Caleb knows what you were looking for all the time. Yeah, they kept their eye on the prize, exactly. And you know, we can learn a lot from that. And you might say to me, well, I know where I'm going and these lads are all in the right place, but they weren't really connected into the right voice. We have to know where we're going. And I'd just like to read from you Mark chapter 1, 16 to 20. One day, Jesus was walking along the seashore and he saw two fishermen, Peter and Andrew, who were throwing their fishing nets out in the sea. Jesus called out to them, "Follow you at me, and I will make you fishers of men." And the Bible tells us that they laid down their nets and followed Jesus. Jesus went a little further and he saw two more men, James and John, sitting in a boat, mending their nets. And Jesus called out to them. And the Bible tells us that they left their boats and they followed Jesus. And you know, Jesus is still calling us today. And you might say, well, I've answered that call. But you see, we live in a world today where it's very much follow the leader. And in every circumstance of life, there are leaders and those who would be leaders who would try to tell us what to do. There are leaders in schools, where children go, in the church, in sport. On television, we see these gurus coming up trying to tell us how to keep house and how to keep fit and how to stay slim and what to eat. And so people that would be leaders that are trying to teach us things that we don't need to hear. Peter and the others had been Jesus' daily companions. They'd been with him for 3 years. And yet, they'd watched everything that he did, heard everything he said, and yet, just before Jesus left, he had to tell Peter in John 21:17, "Feed my sheep, and again follow me." Our calling is the calling of every single person here, and the call that is extended to God's children is the same as that of Peter. Jesus is calling us to follow him, and to go out and to win the world. But also, he's calling us to feed his sheep. And those that we're to feed one another, we're to work with one another. I heard a very good illustration that came through my email the other day. And it was just my words, because I can't remember all the detail, but it was very interesting. And I thought about it when we've been talking about sharing together. And I know Pastor John preached a couple of sermons ago about us doing things together. And it goes that there was this man who went to the Lord and said he wanted to know what heaven was, hell was like. And so the Lord showed him a picture. And in this room, there was all of this food, a great big bowl of rich, healthy, nourishing food. And around the table, this huge table, were all of these very skinny, gaunt people. They just looked like they were on their last breath. And attached to their arms, not in their hands, but attached to their arms, were these great big long spoons. Great big long spoons. And here they were, all vigorously, with the last ounce of strength, trying to reach into this bowl. Now, they'd reach into the bowl, but they couldn't get their arms to their mouth. And then the Lord said, "Now I'll show you what heaven is like and what the principle is." And they went into another room and it was the same. Great big bowl of rich, nourishing food on the table and all these people around. But they were plump, not heavy, but healthy looking, rosy cheeked, the same spoons, long spoons on their arm, and they were dipping in to the food. And the man said, "Well, why is it? What's the difference? Why are they flourishing in the other?" And he said, "Watch." And when he watched, they were dipping in and they were feeding one another, because the spoons wouldn't reach their mouth. And so that's the way of the world, and that's the way of the enemy, to encourage us to feed ourselves, to grab for everything that we can get. But the ministry of the gospel is that we feed one another. And so the spoons easily fit and we're able to feed one another. And I don't know where that's been used, but I'll have it, thank you. I don't know if I'll drink it. Thanks very much, Daniel. It's okay, I'll have a sip seeing you went to get it for me. I don't mind sharing with my husband, that's fine. But seeing Daniel got it, I'll drink it. So we need to understand how important it is that we listen to the things of God. So the follow me that Jesus is calling about, and you see, sometimes when we think about it, think about the disciples. When Jesus said to them, did they really fully understand what they were doing? No. Of course they didn't. They knew they'd heard about this great preacher, they'd heard about this man. And of course, when we hear and see somebody popular, someone who seems to know where they're going, Matthew, we want to follow them. When we see people that don't seem to know where they're going, well, it's not quite as exciting to us. And so these disciples wanted to follow Jesus, but they learned as they went what that following meant. And tonight I want to challenge us, do we really understand what that following means? There's a two-fold thing here in this. We are called to be disciples. So we are called to be the ones who walk with Jesus and who learn from him. We're called to be apostles. We're told to go out and to minister. To be the ones who go forth, and in particular, we are called in a particular way to receive the gifts that God has given us. Now, there are many Christians that love the Lord with all their heart, but they don't understand about the gifts. Every one of us have been given gifts. They're not just given to some, they're given to all of us. But many Christians, the world is in a state that it's in today because many Christians are sitting on their gifts, or they don't understand them. They don't understand the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we come into this wonderful relationship, but you see, there is an ongoing thing. It's like school, that you start in grade one, and then you, what grade are you in, Matthew? Grade six, that's great. And you're going to go on and then become like Brendan and Rachel and Serge. You're going to be going to university one day. And then we graduate and we come out into the world to life. And so we know that we don't fully graduate or reach that place till we go to be with the Lord in heaven. But there is an ongoing learning, and sometimes we can become stuck and stagnated in those things. Now, to come to him as he asks us to come, we need to give him everything. We need to give him our weariness and our burdens, our anxieties, and we need to receive from him those things that he wants to give us, peace and hope and joy and truth and strength and wisdom. And some people struggle with those things. To come to him and to follow him where he leads means that we have to learn of him as well as lean on him. And that takes relationship and that takes intimacy. You know, sometimes people, so there is not opportunity to speak loudly. Someone, we may be in a difficult situation, and so we have to speak softly. So the person that wants to hear needs to be close enough to hear. We need to be close enough to hear what the Lord's saying. We need to come to him to live in him and have him live in us. Now, you know, the Word of God tells us that Jesus Christ works in us that we might outwork. And you see, we are trying to outwork sometimes and we haven't had the fullness of the working in. We are not really listening. It's not easy. It's not easy. Many times we say to people, come to Christ and everything will be fine. And so they come into this situation of this, what I call the gilt edge cage, and we feel so protected and loved, and that's wonderful. But then it's time for us to go out and live what we know. And that can become hard. It's like, God, this isn't what you told me. This is hard. I've still got the same bills to pay. I've still got the same problems in my family. I've still got the same health issues. All of these things. But Christ is unable to bear our burdens and give us rest unless we come to him in full trust. Not because Jesus did not have the power to make us new and turn us into the salt of the earth and the light of the world, but because we don't always know how to come and receive these things. It demands more of us than most people are willing to give. We know that we receive, but we need to give. And what do we need to give? And Pastor John said this morning, our heart. But it's more than that. It's laying down our life for him. It's saying that I'm no longer in the front seat. I'm no longer in control. And we always want to be in control. We always want to be in the front seat. It demands discipline, single-mindedness, a determination to make Christ the centre of our lives. So how do we do that? I was thinking of this message during the week again. I was going to go somewhere and I have a bit of trouble with the GPS in our car. My little grandson Joel keeps saying, Grandma, I've shown you how to do it. And what I do, I get the right address in, but then I forget to store it. So when I go to get it, it's not there. And so, you see, that's a great principle. It's got to be stored. But where's it stored? Not here, but in our spirit. In our spirit. And so the other thing is that it's a really clever thing. I just love modern technology. I thank God for I'm alive today for many things, but one of them is to have spanned the difference of age from when I was a child, as I've said, when I used to cut up newspaper for the toilet, and we didn't have biros, we just had pencils, to this age where we see all of this wonderful technology. But you see, technology is only as good as the hand that works it. And I was really thrilled because John and I were going somewhere and he said to me, did you punch it in? And I said, yes, I punched it in. And he said, that's not giving the right number. And then all of a sudden, the GPS says, recalculating. And so I read the book and realised that it had to whatever you call it, because it couldn't find this new street. So what happens, it rises higher to the satellite thing, which is way, way up, and then it connects, and then she got herself right. We've got a lady's voice, and she was able to take us to the right street. And John was frustrated because all this technology, and he knew where to go all the time. But this thing was telling us, it's really frustrating, take a right turn at the next possible exit. Well, it wasn't a right turn. We needed to keep going. So you see that had to connect in. It had to connect in and had to go higher. And you see, we need to connect in and we need to go higher. We need to go to the voice of the Spirit. Anybody here tonight who does not understand the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, I would love to talk to you after the service. I would just love to, because you see, we open the Word of God. When I got filled with the Spirit, I loved my Word. I was growing and I used to read the Word as much as I do now. But when I got filled with the Spirit, it was like the Word of God jumped out at me. And scriptures that I used to read and used to know by part, I started to understand more fully. And so when we're going and moving, if we're going to follow the leader, we need to hear the voice of the Spirit. We need to know the Word of God. We need to follow the Word. But there are times when we can be tripped up. Now, in the natural, as I said, following the leader, we used to jump in puddles and we used to climb over fences and hang from trees and do all of those things. And in life, you know, there are all these things coming. You might say, well, no, I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. But there are voices that come to us. There are puddles that try to trip us up. There are pit holes that try to trip us up. There are voices that come to us and try to tell us the wrong thing. And the other thing, there are our own anxieties, our own fears and our frustrations. And you know, one of the greatest battles we can have is with our own emotion. And emotion is very important. I've spoken about that before. We need emotion. We need to feel. We need to laugh. We need to cry. But you see, if we start to trust our emotion, the voice of our emotion, if we follow the leader of our emotion, we will get ourselves into trouble. We will fall, we will trip. And sometimes our emotion speaks very loudly and it sounds so accurate and it sounds so feasible. But if we really look, you see, the Word of God says that God does not use man's common sense. It's faith. And sometimes it's like, but Lord, that doesn't really seem right. You're asking me to jump off there, I'll hurt myself. And the Lord says, you jump and I will catch you. And that may not be from there, it may be jump into a situation or out of a situation. So it's trusting that small voice that speaks into our very being, the voice of God that speaks into our spirit. And I see so many people today who just listen to their emotions, who listen to the reason of the world. You know, I'm not against medicine, I'm a nurse, and I highly respect doctors. But you see, there are times when doctors can make mistakes. There are times when doctors can tell us something and can cause us to run into a panic. We need to stop and think, no, Lord, what are you saying? That rest that Pastor John spoke about this morning, that comes through abiding in his presence, about knowing his spirit at work within us, that we need to be at rest and not allowing the world. Now, we know we're not completed in that sense and we know that we're not yet perfected. So it doesn't mean that when something comes into your life, a disappointment, or you may see your children doing something, and it's like we look at it and it's like we focus on that and it just seems chaotic. Now, it's natural that we will immediately feel something, But then if we walk close to the Lord, if we are following the leader, if we're not being distracted like Matthew and knew exactly where he was going for the prize, then the Spirit of God is faithful and he will come in and say, just be quiet and trust me. Trust me. Because as I said to the ladies on Thursday, we get so caught up, and it's true that we know we're called to minister to the world. We know that we're called to evangelise and touch people. And we do that with every confidence, don't we? That we're going to speak truth into their lives and that God is going to use that truth to bring life. And so we do what we can and then we move on, but we trust God. Why do we doubt with our own? Why do we doubt? Why? Because our emotion gets in the way. Because we love them more dearly. And because we're so close to the situation, we just see the difficulties and we can't see the hope. The Lord is saying, lift your eyes and look up. Pastor John shared this morning, and I must correct something. He said he was only 11 when he was doing that, and he was only a tiny 11, but he had tremendous strength. But another thing he's told me about that is very important that we look at, and it fits in with this message, is that when he was very young, only a little tacker, he used to follow his father around. His father used to go out and get the rabbits and sell them to the buyers, McCraiths, and they used to freeze them. And John used to love to be with his father. Now, some of the places they went, it was dangerous. And, of course, being a little boy, he'd be looking around at things, but it was important that he followed his father. Particularly at night when they would go out, and they had a little kerosene lantern. Now, we know that a kerosene lantern doesn't show a light a long way. And I learned that when I started to go with John in my courting days. I used to get taken out around the rabbit traps at night. And so it was very important that you stayed close to the leader because he had the lamp. And there are snakes. And I remember one night we were out there and I saw all these marks on the sand. And I said to him, oh, what's that? That looks like a snake. No, he said, the snails do that. And of course I believed him, but it was snakes. And so I wouldn't freak out. He used to tell me all sorts of stories and I believed him. But about rabbiting. But anyway, I used to stay very close to him because he had the lantern and I knew that that's where safety was. So we have to walk very close to the Lord. We need to listen to him. And so Jesus tells us to, no one can serve two masters. For a slave will either hate the one and love the other or be devoted to one and despise the other. And so we need to know who our master is in the sense of every area of our lives. Jesus spoke those words about choosing, mainly that was over money, but it can be applied to every area of our life. Are we going to trust our own? We hear about people say, oh, a woman's intuition. Well, believe me, a woman's intuition is very closely associated with her hormones and her emotion. And so that doesn't mean that women don't have a sense about certain things, but it means that we can be very wrong at times and we need the maturity and the seriousness of a man to come alongside and bring correction. And so our call to be disciples and our life as disciples is best described as a choice between living like everybody else or living the way that Jesus Christ has called us to live. Walking very close to his Spirit. Jesus calls us to, from the worship and the idealism of all of the vanity around us and the stores, and particularly for you young ones, it can be difficult. As you start to grow up, you're starting to make bigger choices. But I want to say to you that sometimes you young teenagers can think, look at someone like me and think, oh, well, it's easy for you because you've lived most of your life, and so now it's easy. No, it's not. We all face the same temptations. Mine might be different to yours, but they're there. I admit that the difference is that I've had longer to learn, and I praise God for that, and I praise God for that, for the knowledge that I've learned. But very quickly, I can be tripped up like anybody else if I don't listen. I shared something with Rachel earlier, a personal thing, where someone said something to me the other day that initially I thought that's wrong, and then it sort of made me leap a little bit inside. And then I said, sat there for a minute and really called the Lord, and the Lord said, this is why, and I was able to bring correction to it. And it was regarding my health. And it was completely wrong. I was with a doctor and he'd made a wrong diagnosis. And it was a very bad wrong diagnosis. And so he looked at me and he didn't know what he was saying. And he said, "Oh, it's okay, Mrs. Tipping, you're a free woman." And I said, "Hallelujah, I sure am free." And I didn't need him to tell me that I was free. He just looked at me stupid. And he said, "You can go now." Praise God. But you see, the result is that I'm okay, but I could have been thrown into a frenzy by what a man said to me. So we need to be sure of what people are saying to us. And so that further stirred this message to me, because I know what it's like to have things said to us. Now, he wasn't deliberately lying to me. He made a mistake. And if you think doctors are gods and don't make mistakes, well, think again, because they do. And they don't make them deliberately, but they can make them. And so we need not to be little frightened little things when we go in, just as example, to a doctor's surgery or into a bank manager. You know, I lived my life, in my early life, being taught that you had to respect all of these people, and that's true. But the respect that I was taught was like a fear. And one day, after I'd been a Christian a few years, I looked and saw, they're just people. They are people. They may know more than I know there, but I have the great God of the universe living within in me. And that's before I was spirit-filled. And so I started to look and realise that I had opportunity to ask questions so that I was sure about what people were telling me. You see, these people do not hold our life in their hands. Our life is held by the hand that holds the world. And so we need to hold on to him and trust him, for I'm persuaded that he holds the future and he holds my hand. So he leads and guides me each day. And he has a plan, a purpose for my life that will be fulfilled in spite of what man says. And so do you believe that tonight? Do you believe that God has your purpose? And so it isn't hard, even though it may involve hardships. It's not difficult, though it may involve difficulties. It flows out of our spirit. Jesus said, "I leave you with a comforter." He will never leave you. He will be with you always. And we need to be tapping in to the power and the equipment that Jesus has given us. It's like a radar that will keep us safe. We need to walk very, very clearly and very closely. When we join God's team, of course he equips us. You wouldn't leave your children unequipped or unclothed for the winter. And so God has done that for us. When we follow Jesus, we learn from him and we learn to obey him. Not argumentative to him and say, "No, God, how dare we argue with him?" But at times we do. We may not verbalise it, but internally we internalise it. We're saying, "God, can this really be right?" Now, God doesn't mind that. I've often said to people, God isn't like us. He doesn't get all petty and pouty. I see God like this great big chest that you can sort of go up and really ask him the questions. And he's not going to disown us. He wants us to challenge him. But out of that, he wants us to trust him. He wants us to trust that when we ask the question, he will give the answer that we need. Not always the answer we want, but the answer that we need. Great things happen no matter who we think we are or who others might think that we are. And no matter what your emotions tell you, great things can happen to you and through you. Small ministries often make big differences. The most important light in my home is not the bright fluorescent light in my kitchen. It is the small lamp by my bed that shows me how to get to the bathroom if I need to. Well, I don't always put the light on because we know we learn to move in the dark, and I can move in the dark. But if I needed to trust a light in the dark, it would be a small lamp that would show me the floor where I'm to walk so that I won't fall and I won't trip. And so small things grow into big things. We are called to let our light shine, to be that light for people, that permanent light that doesn't go out, not a light that is subject to our emotions or our thinking, but a light that is there, that is steadfast and strong, a light that doesn't change. Our Christian life revolves around two poles: discipline, following Christ, and apostleship, carrying Christ to the world. And the Lord God has not called us to do something that is too hard for us or something that we can't do. He's called us and equipped us to do what he has called us to do. And so we need to know that we are on the right side and that we are able to hear the right voice. I hear people saying to me, but God doesn't speak to me, I don't hear him. Well, you're not listening. And you see, sometimes we don't hear because we're so busy thinking up the answer ourselves and thinking through our own intellect and our own desires and plans that we don't stop and listen. We need to listen, and we need to know and be sure which leader that we're following, because there are so many voices that are crying to us. There are so many sounds that are trying to get our attention, and we need to know who we hear and who we're going to follow. And so God would call us this night to follow him and resolve to live to the calling. And you see, discipleship is discipline. It's disciplining yourself. But there is no discipline. There is nothing that you can give that God will not give you double. Now, we don't do it just to receive, but we're not the lackers. We are not the ones that go without. If we put him first, if we follow him. And the other thing is that came out in the demonstration tonight is that because Joshua didn't know where he was going, his team were all over the place, if you noticed. Caleb was wanting to know what he was finding, and that's good, Caleb, you did that well. And the other lad, I think it was Jesse, was like wandering everywhere. But because Matthew knew where he was going, they followed him. And you see, we don't have to say things to people, but if we have a confidence and an authority about us, people will follow us. And the same with the world. When people have a need, if they see that you're a shaking, trembling, insecure person, do you think they're going to come to you with their problems? But if they see, it doesn't mean you're standing like you've got it all together, but that you're standing on the rock that has. You're standing on a solid place, and you're in a place of contentment, you're in a place of rest and peace, and you're in a place of thinking, I'm safe. People will come and ask you. And people will listen. People will listen. Look, I've said before, and I praise God, it's his ministry, it's his gift. But I don't advertise, and not this church. I see people from everywhere. Sometimes it just amazes me how they hear about it. Well, God sends them. God sends them. And God knows when someone needs to make it the word known, and they come and they listen, because I speak from the authority of the word. It's not about me or my life. It's not about my principles. It's that I'm confident, and because I'm tuned into the Spirit that leads me, and he speaks through me. So what we put in, the study you put in, the time you put in, is never wasted. Because God flows in you and through you and out. He works it out into the ministry that he has for you. So it's my prayer tonight that we will all stop and think when a situation comes. Not now, of course, you're all sitting in the right place and you're hearing the right thing. But tomorrow or the next day, when something comes up to challenge you, who are you going to follow? Whose voice are you going to hear when the world tempts you to either do it or not to do it? When maybe someone close to you that doesn't have that wisdom comes alongside and says, oh, look, this would be a better way. Are you going to follow that voice? Are you going to listen to the very voice of God himself speaking in your heart? Okay, Joshua, we'll have that PowerPoint now. Thank you. Every one of us is challenged with one or more of those statements most days, every day. And you see, it said there that I am more than a conqueror, not just a conqueror, but more than a conqueror. And you see, in that, if you looked at that video, it gave the principle that there are some times like that guy was standing on a peak. He didn't have his Bible, he's balancing, he can't open his Bible, it's what's hidden in his heart, and it's the Spirit of God. And there are times where we're in situations where it's only what we're fed in that God is going to feed out to us. And so we really need the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to walk in strength, to walk in that overcoming power, and to know that we are more than conquerors. And to know that when we speak to our families, it is not a vain word, it is a spiritual power-packed word. And remember that the Spirit of God can use that word. When we touch our children and our families and we pray for them, the power of the Spirit of God is going to minister to them. So, Father, we just thank you tonight. And, Lord, I just pray that you might minister your word, Lord God, into each of our hearts, that we might know, Lord God, that it is you that we need to follow. It is you, Lord, that we need to hear above all of the noise, even of our own beating hearts, Lord. For you will never fail us. You will never leave us. You will never forsake us. But you will lead us into that place of rest. For you, Lord Jesus, are my shepherd, and I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Lord, we thank you that you have prepared a table for each one of us in the presence of our enemies. And as we trust you, Lord, and don't look at the noise around us, don't look at the jeering, don't hear the noise of the enemy and those that would try to come against us, but we sit in that quiet rest. You come and you anoint our head with oil so that our cup runs over, and that we would know that surely goodness of mercy will follow us all the days of our lives, and that we will dwell in your house, in your peace, in your kingdom forevermore. Just let that be the cry of our heart in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you.